I subscribe to have access to the PlayStation Plus throughout the year, so I get my free games every month.
And do you use that to compete against random teenagers in video games online?
No, I'm like old school. So it's, if it's like multiplayer online, I'm like, no, I have no interest in that.
I'm very intimidated by the youth and what they bring to the table in those games.
Yeah.
Oh, that kills me.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of E-commerce Unscripted. This is the podcast where we help you achieve WooCommerce mastery. My name is Sam Greenspan, and I am a marketer here at GoDaddy. I focus on WooCommerce, and I am joined today by two fantastic panelists. First of all, joining us from the Great White North, is that what it's called still? Tabitha Turton. Tabitha, please introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. Yes, I think, what is it? Today, anyways, we're heading into spring, and it is -7 degrees today. So it's still a nice, crisp winter day. But yeah, I'm a product manager here at GoDaddy. I love all things e-commerce, and I have an embarrassingly long list of subscriptions.
That is perfect for today's topic. Also, for anyone listening who's curious, Tabitha was referring to the Celsius temperature, which I have translated to be 19 Fahrenheit. Still far too cold for spring, but perhaps not as devastatingly cold as it may have sounded to some of our users who are on the Fahrenheit system, which is, I think, 3 countries in the world. And our other panelists today, joining us from the great Pacific Northwest, Nick McLaughlin. Nick.
Equally great out here, not quite as cold. Yeah, I'm a customer support specialist at GoDaddy. I also work with folks getting their e-commerce stores up and running on the daily. Also a bit of a serial subscriber, not to serial, but just like frequently. Have a lot of those going on. And my number one like subscription faux pas, it's probably everybody's. I wanted it to be a cool fact about me, but it's probably just everybody is forgetting to cancel a subscription that you meant to cancel and not knowing about it until it shows up on your doorstep. Yeah, done that a bit.
And you are coming to us from your AOL account today, so I can confirm that you have a long-standing subscription. Yes, as Tabitha and Nick both alerted you to, today we are talking about subscriptions. Subscriptions are a fast-growing e-commerce segment. They have a projected growth at this point of 68% per year, and it is predicted that, in fact, by 2023, 3/4 of direct-to-consumer e-commerce businesses will sell subscriptions in one form or another. They're gonna be everywhere if you don't feel as if they're everywhere already. They are a big opportunity for stores right now because in spite of that growth and in spite of those projections, right now, only 15% of online shoppers are receiving any subscription products, which means there's an opportunity to become the person they subscribe to first. And today we're going to talk about why subscriptions can add a new revenue stream for your WooCommerce store or be a standalone business that you start. We can also discuss today some strategies to optimize your WooCommerce site and to utilize subscriptions to their fullest extent. But first, we're going to lay a little groundwork on subscriptions, share our feelings on subscriptions, and also share some stats with you. Nick and Tabitha, have you ever subscribed to any subscription boxes?
Yeah, right now, I have a weekly meal delivery service so that I will focus on the now. it's been great. I love getting the box every Monday, being able to meal plan, and it takes care of my grocery shopping. I am considering canceling it.
Okay, so two follow-ups. The first one is, you were very specific about this being what you subscribe to now. Does that mean you have some regrettable subscription boxes in your past?
That I want to reveal. Regrettable for a
regrettable
reason.
Subscription skeletons in your closet. Yeah.
You could just say yes, and we will take that at face value. And we'll
yes.
But second, back to the current subscription box you have, you're considering canceling. What is making you feel like you might want to cancel that?
We signed up for it really to get back into cooking because we weren't doing enough of it. We were relying on too many pre-made meals and didn't have this health focus, whereas with this subscription plan, like we're eating a lot of veg, it's getting some vegetarian meals too thrown in. So it's really awesome. But there's a lot of prep. Like, I know that if I were cooking from a recipe outside of this, I'd be looking at meals that would take less time and have fewer components or steps. Like, I'm getting kind of restaurant quality meals, but I'm having to cook them with this box. So they'll say 30 minutes. It takes an hour. I find that's not really worth it. And if I were to switch over to just doing my own meal planning, I think I could save a good 50% on what it's costing right now with the box. And so that pain that they were solving initially, I'm not necessarily feeling like it's worth that weekly hike if I could just do it separately on my own. That said, I did price out some halloumi cheese over the weekend to see if I could just make this one salad I've fallen in love with. And they somehow do it at a cheaper price point than I could pull off on my own.
Okay. I will say that my wife and I had a very similar experience with we want to eat healthy. We want this to be faster. We get into the food subscription box. We find it's taking a ton of time to cook and it's very expensive. And at this point, I think we've free trialed pretty much every subscription meal plan that they have out there. Nick, do you subscribe or have you ever subscribed to any subscription boxes?
Yeah, I was trying to think of if we have any going right now. I don't know if it counts as a box. We get our cat food subscription delivered. That's more of just like a convenience of not having to forget that. But there's not a lot of branding around that, I don't feel. The subscription stuff I've done before, though, yeah, I've done several of the meal deliveries, dipped into a little bit of the like clothing accessory box world for a minute. That was a good spot. I think that's it. And then I did actually in my past life as a e-commerce merchant, we did some of our own subscriptions as well there. That was an ice cream company. So it was subscription boxes of ice cream, believe it or not. And so when you look at, I think you said 3/4 of all D2C businesses will be doing subscriptions. I feel like ice cream subscription is a pretty good indicator of if you thought you couldn't do it, there you go. It can be done.
Right. Sign me up.
Yeah. I am now intrigued by your ice cream subscription as well. One stat for you. More than half of online shoppers have subscribed to a box at some point. However, as we saw from the earlier stats, there are a lot of people who are no longer subscribing to boxes. So I think that the reasons that we enumerated why you might cancel subscription are very relevant and things we're going to want to discuss here about remedies for the businesses we're trying to help here of how to keep people subscribed to their products and continuing to get them. All right, next question. Do you subscribe to any websites currently for access to something?
I was just trying to think about this. I don't believe that I do, actually. I'm not an access subscriber. I guess maybe the closest would be like a Patreon situation where you like support an artist and then they have like their own kind of like special perks that are just on Patreon. So yeah, that's a special access subscription. I have two of those going right now.
Yeah, like I was trying to think of, because most of my subscriptions do fall under like the media sort of umbrella, but with something, so I subscribe to the e-learning site, so I have access then to all of their courses with that subscription.
Of the types of subscriptions, they really fall into three buckets. So the most common type of subscription that people have in e-commerce is the curation subscription. So that's something like Stitch Fix or BarkBox, one where you're getting a curated number of products. The second most common are replenishment subscriptions. So that's something like Quip for your toothbrushes or Dollar Shave Club is obviously one of the big players in the game. And then the least common option, although it feels like everyone I know has some of these, is access subscriptions, which include things like media subscriptions, purchasing clubs, like a Costco would theoretically count as an access subscription, and or like streaming services. So,
oh yeah. In that case, I have access subscriptions. I know.
We'll get into those shortly, but yes.
It feels like a different category, yeah.
It does, but those fall under, if you're just going to bucket into these three large ones, those fall under access. Definitely. If, again, is Netflix an e-commerce company? It's a broad definition. I don't know, right? But I guess they're selling something online and people are paying for it. Yeah. All right. Next question. What subscription are you really thinking about getting? Anything has your eye that you've been hovering over that subscribe button but just haven't been able to click it yet, Tabitha?
The main one right now is called Mailbrew. And so it basically creates a daily digest of news sources that you have curated so that then you just get them all in one email every day, which is brilliant. I think it would save a lot of time. It's got at a really great price point. I just haven't gone forward with it because technically I can still go across those 5 different emails every day myself, but I am thinking about it. Like possibly within the next week or two, I may decide to purchase it.
All right, Nick, any subscriptions that have your eye right now?
Actually, there was a similar one that I had forgotten what it was called, but now I might just go get Mailbrew instead. Word of mouth marketing happening right here in front of us. The other one for me that I've kind of eyed on and off again is a Skillshare. It's like an online learning courses site that you can, they just have a whole ton of like kind of mostly targeted at creative industries and creative pursuits. But yeah, a whole bunch of really cool stuff on there. And what I like about that one is I feel like most course sites that I see, you pay like per course, but they do the subscription model. And so I just would be paying the subscription for it. And then I have access to anything on the site. And that just feels a lot more like accessible to me and more like I can go at my own pace and pick and choose from different things without having to feel like I'm bought in on this one course, and if it ends up being a dud, then like I'm stuck. I can, you know, move on to something else.
Yeah, for sure. I've bought courses that have been duds, and it's really disappointing when you finally take one. And for me, I have been eyeing for quite some time now a subscription to Field Notes, which is they make little notebooks. I have this a pretty bad notebook addiction, like to the point where, and I kept it hidden from my wife, like even after we were married, but then we were moving one time and she found my just crates and crates of notebooks. So Field Notes has this, I just love notebooks. Field Notes has like a quarterly subscription where they'll send you their current releases and also special prizes. And I am just super tempted by it, but I feel like if I subscribe to a notebook subscription, I would have to like have discussions about it. Like why I felt like that was a good choice. And that, which would also make me feel guilty if I did it like secretly, like snuck around behind my wife's back to subscribe to a notebook subscription. It feels like wrong for so many reasons. Just know I'm still considering it and I may do it one day, but it's going to all have to be above board if I'm going to feel comfortable with my notebook subscription.
Interestingly, yeah. My wife does get like notepads shipped to us on a regular basis, but she is in school. So that makes sense that she needs them. But yeah, we get like a top up every 2 months, I think right now.
Interesting. And you were fine with this. You did not have to have a notepad intervention as my wife felt she had to have with me.
But I feel like it was justified. I don't know. Are you using your notepads? I think it comes down to like usage, or are these just like little trophies that you line up?
It's 50-50.
Or hide.
It's actually, there are many cases where I will buy two, one to like keep and one to use, like one that I want to keep for posterity and preserved as if I'm a collector of these, keep it mint in box, but then one that I want to write in. So yeah, she's not wrong. There is a problem here, but it's my thing. And so this subscription would certainly enable that. So I don't know, but I'm thinking about it. And one stat for you on this one, people who have subscriptions tend to become multiple subscribers. Half of people who have any e-commerce subscriptions have more than one e-commerce subscription. And our final question today, hearkening back to the access question, just how many streaming services do you currently subscribe to?
Oh, no. Oh, wow. Let's see. I'll just start listing them and everybody gets free promo here. We've got Amazon. We've got Netflix. We've got Hulu. We've got Disney Plus. I feel like those are the biggest ones that we're watching the most on. So maybe is 4 a lot? I don't, you probably have the number somewhere, but it feels like a lot.
Tabitha, I'll reveal the number, the average, the universal average after we hear Tabitha's, because I can't tell right. If she's going to go way higher or way lower.
I don't think it's that much higher. And these are this is just media streaming, right?
Yeah, let's talk media streaming.
So I wouldn't include like an e-learning in there. So yeah, I've got Spotify, Netflix, BritBox for all my British TV needs, Prime, Apple TV. And then right now it's not activated, but it's every couple months I turn on Crave, which is a Canadian Hulu option here. and then I'll keep it for a couple months and I turn it off. So we're coming up to that reactivation period. So right now, 5, soon to be 6.
I have Netflix and then Spotify. We do Amazon Prime. We have Disney Plus because when you have small children, you're actually legally required to have Disney Plus at this point. And then I have Scribd-y, or is it Scribd or Scribd? I actually don't know how it's pronounced, but I use that for audiobooks. But that that came bundled with subscriptions to things like Pandora and a few others, like Curiosity Stream. The average person has fewer than any of us. The average person has 3.4 streaming services that they are currently subscribing to. But that survey, I don't have the date on when that was taken. That might have been before like the past year when all these new services started. Who knows? Things are crazy now.
Yeah. Cable, I'm sure, with more steps. Exploded. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I know what? I've never paid for cable because I just never had it. And now I feel like I'm probably paying as much, if not more. And that was always my argument against it. Oh, cable's too expensive.
Absolutely. If you add up what it would cost to buy all the streaming services to replicate cable, I'm sure you probably come up right around the same price that cable used to cost. They figured it out. It took them a few years, but they got us back. They got us. All right. We'll be back right after this with some strategies for using subscriptions with your WooCommerce business.
A free domain and SSL certificate, super fast setup, daily backups, tons of free website themes, and thousands of dollars of included plugins, all for under $20 a month? It's true. Check out GoDaddy's managed hosting plans at GoDaddy.com.
And we are back talking subscriptions today. So the first thing we're going to talk about are some basic things you can do with your WooCommerce store to start getting subscriptions going. Now, granted, these are not the basicest of the basic things. Like, so adding subscriptions is going to take a little bit of work for any site, but we're going to assume that you want to incorporate subscriptions, run a subscription-based business, or add it to your current business, and we're going to talk about how to do that. So the first and foremost place to start is, of course, the extension WooCommerce subscriptions.
So with WooCommerce subscriptions, you're able to set up recurring subscriptions or just some sort of subscription product that can really help breed a customer loyalty. So people are more likely to come back over time and continue shopping with you or subscribing to the content that you might be offering. It can also make it really easy for customers to make purchase decisions if you're offering some sort of like subscribe and save. So that's really, that is like a huge method now for getting customers locked in to recurring orders. If like you offer any sort of item that it can be, that is replenishable or consumable, and that can be like those notepads, we get them sent every couple of months. We get a package of those because we go through them pretty often. Similar to Nick and like your cat food, having a subscribe and save, you probably are saving a little bit on that front. I do it with like dental floss. I get that sent in. And you can really do it with so many physical items that you might sell. But with the plugin, you're not limited to physical goods. So you can also have that in terms of like digital or access to content that you might want to have people sign up for.
Like you said, there's some, maybe some basics that go into before this of figuring out what's right for your business and what sort of subscription model makes sense for your customers. You know, what they'll really see the value in, whether that's a subscribe and save, you know, this is something that you're already buying. So let's just kind of automate that process and then you'll save a little bit. Customer will probably end up buying that either for like longer than they would have or buying more of it than they would have, and it works out that you're benefiting from that deal. Something else that Tabitha mentioned was subscriptions for non-physical goods. This can get into a lot of different areas of like the subscription itself can be tied to if you're making some sort of like digital art or something, like any sort of like media or content creation, that can be tied to the release itself. That can just be on a regular schedule. The plugin itself is really good at helping you to automate those recurring payments. And then how you build your model over that, there's quite a bit of flexibility around.
Oh, I forgot to mention what's cool too, in terms of how payments are managed with the plugin, is that let's say there's a failed payment, it will continue retrying until it goes through, which is awesome. So you don't have to manually do that, which I think is a really awesome perk.
Yeah, subscriptions is a very popular plugin, and they continue to build it out with really good features to help stores setting up subscriptions, whether you're starting a subscription-based business or adding one to your business, which will take us into our next topic, which, as we get into a little more advanced topics here, incorporating WooCommerce subscriptions with WooCommerce memberships. So this is when you're taking your subscriptions to a slightly different level and almost building more of a community or more of a robust experience around the subscription. So, Nick, if you'd like to talk a little bit about how you can use the WooCommerce memberships extension with the WooCommerce subscriptions extension and what kind of things you can then offer on your site if you have that going.
This combo is really great. So, like I mentioned, the subscriptions is really good for like automating those payments and figuring out how you want to set up your payment structure around this. Memberships is what allows you to kind of restrict and limit access to different content or products on your site. So at this point, you can start to do like content releases for your subscribers. So the subscriptions is going to be managing their payment through. And then say you take a monthly payment, and then at the end of the month, you're releasing this new article or this new song or whatever it is that you're making. Really cool combo for that. You can also use memberships to offer like subscriber perks that only your subscribers will have access to. So you link the subscription product to a membership so that when somebody purchases that subscription, they automatically become a member. And that means that they have access to these products that they wouldn't have access to otherwise. So then as a subscriber, they can access a back catalog or something like that, where it's only this premium tier that you've set up for those folks. That again, is another value add for the customer in drawing them into that subscription in the first place.
Yeah, I think Nick did a really great job covering really a lot of the benefits of using the two. I would add that when it comes to those membership perks, another cool one that I've seen used by quite a few different merchants, creating like discounts for tied to a particular membership plan. So let's say you want to offer some sort of site-wide discount where they're getting 30% off of if they're like on the gold plan. And then you could tier that too. So if they're on the silver plan, they might just get 15% off. And you could restrict that to particular products, or you could open it up to your entire catalog. So you've got a lot of flexibility there. And what's really neat with the subscriptions plugin is that the subscriber can manage those tier upgrades and downgrades. So they can choose at any point to upgrade to a higher tier. You can promote that too within like drip content so that, okay, if they're at this tier, we want to get them to the next one up. You know, promote moving and like the additional perks that they'd be getting out of that upgrade.
One of the things I really like about WooCommerce memberships, which can also harken back to what we discussed about people dropping subscriptions, is the way that you can drip content with it. I think that's a really useful feature of it, where you can only unlock content to members at certain points. I think most of the things we subscribe to these days, we're used to, once you subscribe, you get access to everything. And with WooCommerce memberships, you can flip that around a little bit and say, after the first month, you get this content, and then unlock more the longer someone's a member, to incentivize someone to keep their membership, keep their subscription a little longer. I find that to be extremely valuable. As we talk about a little more advanced implementation of subscriptions, is using different tiers of subscriptions. Have you seen any examples of sites that are doing this really well? Do you have any advice on the right way to approach tiered subscriptions, pricing subscriptions, in order for a business to be able to really maximize what they're getting out of their subscription customers?
Yeah, I feel I feel like the sites that I see doing that really well are showing a really strong understanding of like their different customers. So they have an idea of, we have maybe students who are using this platform, and they're going to want these particular things included in their subscription, and they're going to want it at this price point. And then maybe we have enterprise corporation accounts, and they're using it for these different features. And some of those will overlap and just be an expansion, but there's also just a change in between of what those different customers are looking for. And then obviously like the price point that they want that at. Those ones always stand out to me, just kind of seeing you always click the pricing link, and there's the four panels of all the different subscription tiers. And I think seeing the differentiation in the different content there is always a really strong tell to me of, okay, is this being actually implemented based on how customers are using it? Or is this just like we wanted to throw together a few different tiers and there they are? Which isn't bad in and of itself. You're still giving them an option and people can still kind of choose what they want. But I really like seeing how that kind of can differentiate based on why different people are using your product. Why are your customers coming to you in the first place?
I would say that what's also cool when you're offering that tiered pricing, you have more potential customers, right? Because you're able to then provide different selections that to different customer groups. So some are going to fit in with a lower tier, whereas others are going to fit in with a higher tier, and they won't mind paying that extra amount. But you'd lose out if you just focused on that enterprise level tier. You'd miss out on like a substantial group of lower tier customers. And I think something like Netflix does a really good job of breaking it into tiers. If we're looking at a large example of a subscription based setup, having that very simple, you know, you have one stream at one time and it's like at a price point that is affordable for most, and you could even technically still share the password, and then going up to the next tier where at least you can have multiple streams at the same time, that then a lot of folks are going to be willing to pay those extra few dollars to get in at that tier. So it's just, you don't want to lose potential customers by just narrowing your focus if you can pull it off, if you have the resources to offer multiple tiers.
The last time I visited my parents at their house, I logged into Netflix on their TV, and apparently they've just been watching with my password, which actually makes a lot of sense based on what the algorithm has been recommending to me. But there was like a recent news article about how Netflix was thinking about cracking down password sharing. And I got a voicemail from my dad. It's like, Samuel, I don't know if you know this, but we've been using your Netflix password. We've seen that might get you in trouble, so we're going to stop now. I said, all right, that makes a lot of sense, but you know what? You keep using it till someone tells you not to, all right? You just enjoy.
It got me to change my TFA or 2FA because I had an old phone number associated with the account. Realized, oh dear, ooh, I might lose access.
Oh gosh.
It's going to be a sort of seismic event the day that streaming services crack down on password sharing. There's going to be a lot of people who are very surprised that day. Now, I want to talk about the next level of strategies for subscriptions. And that is, we're getting back to the point where we really want to come up with incentives to get people to continue their subscriptions with WooCommerce sites. So the top reason that people do so, they say, is that they get a personalized experience with their subscription. So this can mean a whole host of different things of how you personalize a subscription. But I'd love both of your thoughts on ways that a site, especially one that's been going with subscriptions for a little while, could implement some personalization options that would help keep and retain customers.
I think data really comes into this. If you can look at the habits of your customers, what are they checking out? Where do their interests lie? So that then you can personalize content or offerings based on what they've already demonstrated as being like their primary interest. And I think something like Spotify does a good job of this. I get a weekly curated playlist, so I can, and it's based on my listening habits for the prior week, or who knows how far back, really. I don't know how the algorithm actually works, but it seems to be, if I start listening to a lot of jazz, the following week I'm getting a lot of jazz recommendations, and I'd like to be able to tweak that actually, but it might be a one-off. But I think that's really, we've seen that within email marketing. When you personalize email content, it's more likely going to convert, and it's the same thing with subscriptions. Like, you want to get people back to your site using it. And if you can offer that content that's based on their demonstrated interests, then they're more likely to stay with you and remain loyal and use that product.
Yeah, I think there's also some of the opportunity for like dripping content, like we had discussed before, can contribute a lot to. I was trying to think as we were talking through like some of our cancellation reasons in the opening segment of like why we've let some subscriptions go. I feel like a lot of it is, it comes down to, you know, some different factors that sort of play into something like staleness, where, you know, like there's just, you're no longer getting kind of the boost from your subscription that you once were. And being able to, you know, like even down to a personalized level, to offer something new to your subscribers, like these are some of your most valuable customers, just in terms of lifetime value. They're already bought in. If you're using like an automated payment method through the WooCommerce subscriptions plugin. You know, like there is zero friction for them to keep purchasing. Like they are a customer, they are set, they're there. And so not taking that too lightly, but really kind of taking this as an opportunity to invest in those folks and find ways, you know, like Tabitha mentioned, I think it really does come down to data. Depending on your scale also, you know, I was also working at a really small company and where I was basically the shipping department, I was the e-commerce department for a while. And I just got to know some of our customers from emails back and forth. And we were doing subscription ice cream. So people are particular about their flavors. And I would just toss in an extra pint for a couple of our customers every once in a while, just because I knew, you know, like these people have been around for like over a year in a program that we've only had going on for almost a year at that point. Yeah, these are really our value base, and anything that we can do to invest more in them is only better for us and for them too. Like that's what they want to see.
I think that paying attention to what customer feedback and then giving customers that little bonus from time to time, that's, I think that can go a long way toward retention. Always feeling like you might get a little surprise something is, I mean, that's like psychology 101 stuff of keeping people engaged with partial reinforcement of the potential there. So those are some great ideas and hopefully tips you can take back to your WooCommerce store for your subscription. So we'll be right back after this with our question and answer segment.
Get your clients online and selling fast with hosting from GoDaddy. Visit GoDaddy.com to learn more.
Okay, and we are back with our question and answer. So the first question, I'm running Facebook and Instagram ads for my new store and I'm getting traffic, but really low conversions. Help.
Conversions, that's like the primary goal and challenge in e-commerce. I'd look at your analytics dashboard to see where the traffic is being lost. What is that visitor doing when they leave your store? Like where, what page are they on? Or are they on in some sort of flow at that time when they drop off? Are they adding items to their cart and then leaving? Because that could mean that perhaps you just need to start to set up a recovery campaign, which typically will recover up to 15% of abandoned carts. If it's related to the checkout flow, I would perform an audit of that flow. Are there any red flags or technical issues that you can get addressed? So it's really figuring out where it's breaking down and then finding the solutions to get that addressed. And it can be small things. It could be that you're just... you don't have your terms of service or your shipping information. It's not visible or it's not easy to access. So there might be a little glitch on the checkout page that no one has let you know about yet. So take a look at what's going on and be the customer yourself to try and figure it out.
I think also if you can get customer feedback, I think especially on social, I feel like those customers are a lot more willing to hop in a DM and let you know why they didn't buy a thing. I feel that communication barrier is a little thinner there. So getting direct feedback on, you know, because it's also possible that it's an adjustment in your marketing of, you know, how you're positioning your products in those ads. Are they then being surprised to arrive on your website, either just in how it's displayed, maybe it just looks different, or is it actually like a product difference where you need to change the customer's expectations? Other thing that I was thinking also was that I wish we had the stats on this. Maybe you guys know better than I do off the top of your heads, like what an average conversion rate is, because I believe it's very low. Just
is,
generally.
Yeah.
So I think maybe some expectation setting there that is don't panic, but also like definitely listen to the advice of how to improve that number, because that's all, there's always room for that.
As Nick just said, yeah, the numbers I have is the baseline. This is very rough across all e-commerce would be around a 2% conversion rate. And that's if you're doing everything perfectly, you're not going to convert 98 out of 100 people who come to your store. And odds are if this person has a new store, they're probably not. They might not have their return policy built out. They may not have any reviews, which can play such a big part in whether people buy. They may just look like some random site that someone slapped together in a few hours. And then is someone really going to want to buy from there? Advertising gets them there, but there's a lot that can happen on site. And remembering 2% conversion rate if you're doing everything perfect, more or less. So try to retain. Again, I like Tabitha, good point about doing recovery emails. Maybe your initial goal as a store that's starting, even if you're not getting conversions, maybe it should be to try to get email subscribers so you can then nurture into customers when they're ready to buy from you, because it's a process and it might not just happen the first time someone comes to your store. All right, one more question for you. Should I take the time to do localization on my WooCommerce site, and how do I do that?
Yeah, I mean, this is very market specific, right? Know your customers, where are folks buying, and how much of a barrier is it that the site's not localized? I would say generally, if you're selling across a language barrier, selling to folks in multiple language groups, then that's going to be pretty valuable, right? Like, you're really unlocking that entire market base. Obviously, you want to take into account, what is your business ready for that? Are you ready to be selling to folks that speak a different language, both from a support standpoint of being able to, you know, help them out, also from a logistics standpoint, can I get product to them? What's their experience going to be like, you know, even outside of the site? So, you know, kind of taking that, the larger picture there, and then saying like, okay, I feel like that kind of helps you get some bearings on.
Tabitha, yeah. you live in the bilingual province of Canada. What do you have to say about localization?
Yeah, I think Nick made a really good point that know your market. Do you need to spend your resources on this task? Like, fortunately, a lot of things are built into our browsing experience now by default. If I'm in Thailand, I can easily translate my browser into English. The date might look a little funky because they're on a different calendar technically, but everything else is going to be fine. So once you're more advanced and now you've got the resources to focus on localization, you know that, okay, yes, I have four main language groups that I want to really make sure they have the best experience possible from start to finish. There are certain things that are built into WooCommerce by default. I believe the WPML stuff is like, isn't that activated on its own? Mm-hmm. If it's, yeah. So you're good on that front. There are some other plugins that let you easily translate strings, say what, and that's not me being Canadian. It actually has a question mark at the end of that plugin name. And that can help you translate a lot of the site experience that might not properly or be translated properly by other plugins. Let's say if the plugin developer didn't create those WPML translations, then you could do it yourself, just locating the string. So that, and it's a free plugin. So I definitely recommend checking that out. I think there's something like Loco Translate as well that you can use. And there are services that take care of translating it for you automatically. I'm just blanking on their names right now.
I'll put them in the show notes. We'll hunt those down and we'll put them in the notes, and along with everything we've discussed, all the recommendations we've discussed here, and also actually tying back to what we did earlier, I have a really good blog post about how to do localization with WooCommerce membership specifically, and I'll link that to that in the show notes as well. So we'll find more localization answers than anyone could ever hope for, and we will put those all in the notes here so that someone can localize their site to their heart's content if they find it is advantageous for them to do so. All right, everyone. Well, that is our episode on subscriptions. I would like to thank Tabitha Turton, Nick McLaughlin for being the co-hosts today and the panelists providing so much expertise into this subject. Again, you can check the show notes for all the extensions, links we've discussed here, as well as if you'd like to submit a question that we can answer on a future episode. And if you'd like to get a lot of the extensions we've discussed here today, please consider GoDaddy's managed WordPress e-commerce hosting. It comes with nearly $6,000 worth of premium WooCommerce extensions, including both WooCommerce subscriptions and WooCommerce memberships, both of which are extremely valuable and popular extensions. Plus, you'll get a streamlined setup, it comes with a free domain, and it's less than $20 a month. So for all of us here, thank you so much for listening, and we hope to see you again soon.